Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the Playbook. On a Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio, I'm John Rook, and all is not lost. It's just a loss. It's just one out of 16. But I am going to tell you, I don't feel the same way about this team that I felt a week ago. Now, granted, things could change if this team manages to beat New Orleans this Sunday here at Gillette as the team comes home after the 13-6 loss to Cincinnati on the road on Sunday. But I would tell you that I think that the problems I think they go a little bit deeper than what we see on the surface. Maybe you also realize this. Some of you undoubtedly have also shared your opinions here and there about it throughout the course of the first 5 weeks of this season. And, you know, I wouldn't say that you've been dismissed, but what I think I will say here is that a lot of this I've kind of kept and I've filed away in the back of my head. Some of the missives that I have, especially in social media, I've actually kept because I like to refer back to things to see how, well, things turn out. And so this being Nitpick Tuesday inside the Playbook, where we take a look at the week's game recently completed, and we sort of dissect and analyze and overanalyze and reanalyze and try to come up with some sort of a consensus as to how we arrived to this point in time, it's kind of helped me come up with a couple of conclusions today. I have two or three nitpicks, naturally, that I'm going to share with you from the game on Sunday. I cannot imagine that they are really any different than the majority of you, what you might be thinking about this team at this point in time. So I'm going to add a couple of questions to the equation today here in the program. First of all, here is how you reach us, as always. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The toll-free telephone number is 855-PATS-500. Again, 855-PATS-500 or the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Social media, there's two ways to get us. You can follow me on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. On Facebook, find me at John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. And if you aren't a friend, you can submit the requests, and I will accept that, and then we can chat football at all hours of the day, which is usually what I end up doing sometimes. But more specifically here during our program time of live between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, of course, if you're listening to us on the podcast a little bit later on or listening to our replay on Patriots.com, you can always feel free to leave a post on the Facebook page, and I will see it. Now, let's start with this. I got some questions that I do want to throw it at you. First, you've got to share your nitpicks. We got a bunch of them. My first nitpick is, to me, the most obvious one from this week. Lack of third down conversion. I mean, they were a pitiful, pathetic 1-for-12 on third down conversion on Sunday. You can't beat the Little Sisters of the Poor with 1-for-12 converting on third down. You can't. Can't beat anybody. You can't even beat the Jacksonville Jaguars on, you know, by playing football like that. That's number one. I'll leave you with that. I'll share my others as they occur here. Question number two. I want you to fill in the blank. And I thought about doing this last week, but I said, no, I want to get a little bit further into the season. But just because things seem to be sort of on a downturn, this is sort of an experiment in where your mind is, Patriots fans. And for that matter, if you're a fan of another team and you're listening to us here in our live programming today, welcome. Or you're listening to us on a podcast, welcome. We do talk about things outside of the world of the Patriots Playbook and other matters that have to do with the NFL. And that's really where this question goes today. Number two, I want you to fill in the blank. The worst team in the NFL other than Jacksonville is blank. The worst team in the NFL other than Jacksonville is blank. Think about that for a second. I'm sure you'll go do your, you know, diligent, your due diligence on that. And then I'd be interested to see where you believe the answers really lie. By the way, the Patriots slipped from fourth to sixth in, power rankings this week that I saw. I think that's being generous, but I'll leave it at that. And we'll let you kind of take off with that with your questions, your comments, your criticisms. And then question number three, this is really of a personal nature. I've got to go buy a new phone tonight. I do. Fact of the matter is I do. Contract is up. Provider's got to change. So I want to know, I'm tossed between the iPhone, the new iPhone 5, and like one of the Samsung models, and I'm wondering, quite frankly, amongst my friends here on this program, what you have, what you like, and what you don't like about those models, and am I missing out on something that's really a hidden gem? So anything you could offer in terms of help before I go at about, 6 o'clock Eastern time tonight and make this purchase? Because here's what I need. Like a lot of you, I have three major needs when it comes to, you know, a communications device. I almost feel like, you know, James T. Kirk and Mr. Spock in Star Trek here. My communicator. Number one, phone, for obvious reasons. Number two, email. Number three, text. And I do not text when I drive, and my girlfriend is very good about, you know, correcting me on that. When I, you know, hear a ding, and I throw my phone away, which I think is a smart thing for all of us to do here. But beyond that, what do I really use the phone for? Nothing. I mean, the apps are fine, and I know many of you are listening to this program on your Patriots.com app anyway, which is great. And I will probably do something similar. But I mean, other than the basics, what do I really need it for? So if someone can sway me one way or the other, I mean, I don't know, are you a corporate officer in one of the phone companies or one of the phones, or I don't know. I'm looking for suggestions. I'm leaning one way, but I figured, hey, you know, we're all friends here. So, you know, if anybody has any good suggestions on the phones, then I'd be open to that today. It's just because I need a little help. I'm kind of torn between a couple, and I really like, honest to goodness, I really like my BlackBerry, but it's out of date. Because I like the ability to punch the letters in when I type. And I've gotten used to it. And I realize BlackBerry now makes an upgraded model. I don't know if that's the route that I really want to go. And if I'm so used to the BlackBerry that I hate giving them up, what's the best route for me to go? I'm hoping for some advice. So there you go. Those are our questions of the day. Now, before I get to the phones and before I get to, you know, talking to you about, you know, the nitpicks and such of the day, here's kind of where I was leading when I was talking with Fred and Andy and Paul at the end of the program here. I don't think this is going to come as a shocker, but at the same time, though, I really believe that there's a fundamental flaw here with this Patriots football team. By that, I mean that this was a conscious decision to sort of break this team down and build it back up, utilizing, you know, Tom Brady while he still had some ability. And I think what has happened here, and again, this is just my observation. You may think that I am absolutely whistling Dixie. I could be off base. I could be so far to the left on this thing that you don't even know what planet I'm coming from. And I recognize that, especially if you're a diehard Pats fan, you probably won't like this. But I'd be curious to note if anybody agrees with me. Here's kind of what I'm thinking. This organization has miscalculated Tom Brady's worth, and they have miscalculated Tom Brady's talent. This is not to say Tom Brady's washed up at age 36. Far, far from it. But he's not the same quarterback as he was 2, 3, 5, 6 years ago when this Patriots offense was a juggernaut, much like we're seeing with what Denver has today. what they thought they had with Tom and what they felt like they needed to do in retooling this team to get it younger and to get it more dynamic with younger players, especially on the offensive side, I understand the process, but they have overestimated what Tom Brady can really do for them at this stage of his career. He rushes throws. He's got some happy feet. He doesn't get rid of the ball quickly enough. And when he puts it on target, the young receivers still drop it if they're running the right route. They're still dropping it. And we saw a little of that happen again this past Sunday against Cincinnati. A couple of route mix-ups. We certainly saw our fair share of drops. And again, the rain had a lot to do with that late in the game. But drops are no excuse. I am always of the opinion you get your hands on the ball. Any port of, if your hand touches the ball, you must catch it. No excuses. No excuses. That's just how I feel. You are a professional receiver. It is your job to catch the ball. It is your job to hold on to the ball. So while I'm sure the Patriots hierarchy, brain trust, coaching staff, however you want to put it, while I'm sure they knew deep down that this team was going to struggle somewhat offensively until the healthy pieces to the puzzle got back into the equation. And by that, of course, I mean Rob Gronkowski. But until that they were going to struggle on offense, they felt like, well, Tom is good enough too. And that's the problem. He's not. He's just not. We saw it last year, and we kind of shook our head and said, he'll get out of it. We've seen it through the first 5 weeks this year. He's had 2 weeks now in the first five where he has completed less than 50% of his passes. And yes, I know there have been drops. Yes, I know there have been wrong routes run. That's the problem. They have overestimated Brady's ability to make up for anyone else's mistakes. Tom can't do that. He can't. He's not a 32, 31, 30-year-old quarterback anymore. He's 36. He's taken some wear and tear. He's taken some beatings. And when the offensive line has problems like it did this past week against a young, very athletic defensive front that Cincinnati showed. And we talked about this last week on the show, kids. We talked about this. We said that I thought that the front four at Cincinnati would definitely give the Patriots line a challenge. And they did. They sacked him four times. They hit him eight more. So he took a beating. He can't overcome all of these odds and expect this team to win. The funny thing about it is the Patriots are lucky that they lost by seven. That had blowout written all over it. But the one thing the Patriots brain trust has done right is pick up the defense. The defense is carrying this team to a 4-1 start. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. But they have woefully miscalculated on offense. I'm not saying you should trade Tom Brady. But unless they, I'll put it to you this way. If the fortunes don't increase, if the fortunes don't get better this year, if we don't see significant improvement from these younger guys, and we don't get Gronk back in there, and Amendola doesn't contribute, and you know, Shane Vereen comes back. If the pieces of the puzzle just don't square back up again this year, I would tell you that I think I'm gonna speak heresy here. I'm gonna tell you that I think in the offseason the Patriots should look at a new quarterback. They need somebody that's agile. They need somebody that's mobile, because that's where the NFL has gone in this day and age. They need somebody that's accurate. They need somebody that's got a good head on his shoulders. Not that Tom doesn't have that. He does still. But physically, Tom can't do what the NFL requires of its quarterbacks to do. He will still go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He'll go down as one of the winningest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. And rightfully so. But the game is morphing. The game is changing. The Patriots now need to make the very difficult decision of changing something to go with it. and you need more agility, and you need more experience, you need more smarts. I don't know that they can get there with just Tom shouldering the load on his very apt shoulders. The future of the NFL, as we all know, is, you know, I mean, I realize that, you know, a guy like Colin Kaepernick has taken his lumps this year, but that's where the future of the league is at quarterback. And again, I also realize that a guy like, RG3 in Washington, that seems to be the future of the NFL, even though he certainly got hurt, and one could make the argument that he got hurt last year because of his agility. You know, in the NFL, you got to be able to stand in the pocket, you got to be able to throw, but I would also argue that you need to step up into that pocket, you need to make a quicker decision, you need to have a quicker release, and you do need to tuck it under and run and slide. Like we saw Andy Dalton do this past Sunday, you need to have that ability. Tom does not have that. Dalton does, and I'm not about to compare, you know, Brady with Dalton. Andy Dalton, I think, is a good young quarterback, and he's got his own struggles this year. And people in Cincinnati are grumbling about him. But Tom can't do what Dalton did. There are some things that Dalton can't do that Brady can, but Brady is struggling to show that because he's got receivers dropping balls on him. He doesn't have an A.J. Green to throw to. So you can see the conundrum here. You can see the problem. And I think the only answer to this is that you've got to retool for the future. You've got to look ahead. You got to realize where the game is going. And you got to give some long, hard thought to doing away with one of the greatest quarterbacks that the game has ever seen. I said, I'm not advocating doing it. I'm thinking you got to think about it. And I'm thinking maybe if there's a way that you can bring somebody in, you know, to play behind him a year or two and then and hand it off, then I think that might be the way to go. That might be the way to go. You know, I got to admit, I'm watching Clemson play this year, and I love Taj Boyd. I think that dude can play ball. He just looks confident back there. You know, I'm not saying that, okay, let's, you know, trade up and go get him in the draft, but that kind of thing is, honestly, I think that's where this game's going. I want somebody that can stand in the pocket and be strong and make good decisions. I'm not sure that the Patriots have that right now because they need a whole lot more help on offense. And I just don't think Brady is equipped to give it to them. All right, so what are your thoughts on what I have to say? Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Dave in Connecticut leads us off in the placebook. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon, John. That's some pretty strong words there. And I am a diehard Patriot fan, and I'm going to say this. I agree with you. I think Tom Brady is coming to the end of his career, and it almost pains me to say that. Okay? But, you know, I don't know which way you want to go. I mean, you know, let me ask you a quick question here. Do you think Mallett is the answer?
No.
Yes or no, real quick?
No.
Okay. Well, then I think you're right. I think they're going to have to grab somebody in the next year or two and have them sit maybe a year behind Brady.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, Dave, I would also tell you that if they'd made the fundamental decision that they need to find the quarterback of the future and bring him in, I think they give him a shot to beat Brady out next year. I don't think it's a guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, or you know, I even hate to say this, maybe, you know, trade Brady? And almost like a Herschel Walker kind of thing, maybe like Jacksonville. I mean,
I think you could do that. And I think there are plenty of teams that would be slobbering, salivating, drooling over the chance to get Tom Brady.
It would be a sad day, though, John. It really would.
Well, of course it would.
And he's done so much for us.
Of course it would. Nobody would like that. But this ownership group and these coaches, especially Belichick at the top of the heap, they've always told us what? That we do what's in the best interest of the team.
Yes, sir.
So you tell me now, what's in the best interest of the team? Do you really want to build a contender for the long haul in the modern day of the NFL, or do you want to continue to ride with a 36, soon to be 37-year-old quarterback who frankly can't hit his targets anymore?
You know what? But I understand that too. But we're also 4-1, so I mean, it's not like we're the Giants. We're 0-5. The Steelers are 0-4. I definitely, I agree with you. You have to look toward the future a little bit here because, Brady is, at the twilight of his career. And, we're spoiled as Patriot fans. We really are.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, these guys come around once in a lifetime. We were lucky to land them, okay, and have that run with him.
Right.
And it's sad that it might be coming to an end. It really is.
Right.
If you think about it.
Right.
And you know what? I don't just blame the wide receivers. I blame the offensive line. You know, they haven't played up to par at all year. I mean, and, I was listening to the guys earlier, and they said, Brady's skittish. Well, no quarterback likes to get hit. And no quarterback likes to have guys, 310-pound monsters in their face, knocking them on the ground, destroying the pocket. Any quarterback who's under that kind of pressure is going to get skittish. We have these young receivers, and you know what? I know they're dropping the ball. I know they're not running the right routes, but to me, that one play where Dobson did catch that pass, it might have been like a 10-yard pass from Brady and ran down the field. It showed me that this kid has some talent. If you watch the way he ran and he waited for his blockers, yes, he fumbled the ball at the end and gave me a heart attack. And thank God, he recovered it. But, I saw myself screaming at the TV going, run, Aaron, run! And the way he picked up his blockers and, he showed that aspect.
Yeah, right.
I think offensively, our game plan was horrible. And I love Josh McDaniels. Why are you throwing to a tackle, on a second and goal? Don't we have tight ends? Don't we have wide, has it gotten that bad that he doesn't trust anybody that he's going to throw the ball to Sebastian Vollmer? Mm-hmm. That's not Grable out there. I'm not saying he can't catch the ball, but I was like, what the hell, what was that all about? Mm-hmm. I think the game plan wasn't a good game plan against these guys. I think we from the run. Here's one of my nitpicks. Blunt did pull the ball, but that was a pretty decent defensive play of trying the ball out of there. That's going to happen. He wasn't carrying that ball loosely. I don't know what his yardage or his carries game for the game were. His yards per carry.
Right.
But I think they had to be in the three range. I don't know. I could be wrong. And we got away from it.
Right.
We're talking about screen passes, but another slower a rushdown is to run at it.
Right, right, right.
Draw plays.
Yeah. Okay.
And we did none of that.
Right.
And I'm gonna I honestly think out of the four games, this was probably Tom's worst game. He missed some passes, and he threw some ducks out there.
Which is what led me, Dave, to basically where I went today, and I'm already getting killed as I expected this. But
don't kill you.
Well, but that's okay. That's all right. That's okay.
Like I said, I'm a die. I live with these guys. I mean, my friends know when they win, I'm smiles. When they lose, you better stay away from me at least till Friday. I live and die with these guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have yet to watch either the Super Bowl playbacks for the Giants because I'll just start screaming at the TV. Okay. I can't bring myself to watch those two Super Bowls. You know what I mean? Like Wes Welker to this day. If he had caught that ball.
Right. Understood.
We might have won that game.
Right. Dave, I got a ton of people I want to get to. So if you got any other points, go ahead and get to it. How else do we fix the problem?
I think, I hate to say it, but maybe a Herschel Walker type of trade. I really do.
Okay.
Where you're going to just bring what Dallas had was that influx of players. And it might take a year or two, but they were us before we were us.
You gotta find a willing partner. That's the main thing. The reason that the Cowboys made that trade is because they found a willing partner in the Vikings.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Right. So they have to find a willing partner. If they're able to find the willing partner, then I'd say at least you entertain it and you play would ya? Only if you still feel like it's in the best interest of your team and the franchise to move on. Now, again, I'm not going to advocate that because I still think this team can win a Super Bowl. Let me repeat
with
myself.
Brady.
This team can still win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady at quarterback. The problem here is that they underestimated his ability to carry this team based on the current personnel sets. They don't have the help right now. They just don't have the help. All right, thanks for the phone call. Let's continue on here with Chester in Portland, Oregon. Chester, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, good to be in the playbook today. You threw a couple questions out there, so I thought I'd answer them first.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a new phone, man, get the iPhone. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. Super intuitive. You can voice text, so you don't even have to mess with the keyboard. Tweet through your voice. Just fantastic operating system there. I for one, have gone through the gamut with Androids, and I'm an iPhone user for life. So
just
my take on that.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chester.
Secondly, the second worst team in the league to me is St. Louis. I think they're awful. They have no running game. I think their front defensive line is really all they have to offer there. Don't know what the true answer is, but if I had to guess from what I've seen this season, St. Louis would get my vote there.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, so let's talk Pat. I got to disagree with your point on Tom Brady. You know, I know he's everybody's hero in Pat's Nation. I agree that we need to look at the succession there, quarterback. I think that's why Matt was under the microscope so hard this offseason. But to me, this is a miscalculation on the offensive depth. I think there was so much focus on defensive depth, which I think has really panned out so far. But, you know, we didn't prepare for the tight end shortage with Gronkowski. And granted, we didn't see the Hernandez situation going. I felt like there were some free agents there that we passed up on. And without the tight end game in the middle, it's really rendered these rookies to shoulder the load. You add in Amendola getting hurt. You add in Vereen getting hurt and the loss of Woodhead, and, you know, with him filling that role. I think if anything, with this red zone, you know, discussion, missing Woodhead, I think to me is the biggest thing here. And you know, his level of versatility, passing and running the ball and short yardage on the goal line, you know, to me, I think that, you know, you're looking at Tom Brady without weapons. You're looking at him with a shaky offensive line based off of what we saw this past week. And look, let's give credit where credit's due. Cincinnati's got a top five front seven there. I mean, we've got to put some stock in the fact that Tom Brady's always been awful against a formidable front sevens. And to me, it's a little bit more concerning the fact that, you know, we're not seeing growth in that particular element of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sorry to carry on, but I got to get my points out here.
It's all right.
Missing Gronk is a huge part of this. I mean, look, did you see the pressure off of the edges? I mean,
yes.
You know, without a Gronkowski in there,
yes.
I don't think we're really giving Brady a fair shake as far as, you know, getting the protection that he deserves.
Okay.
And you know, frankly, I think Devlin should have been more of a part of this game plan, especially seeing how that first half played out and, you know, just getting him more time. You know, to throw the ball.
Now, okay. That's...
going back to my original point, succession mm-hmm. is important, and I think we really got to start looking into that. But it ain't time to give up on Brady. I really don't think we've seen the true nature of this offense.
Well, I'll tell you, Chester, hold on. I'm not giving up on Tom Brady. I'm not giving up on Tom Brady. I will not give up on one of the best quarterbacks to have ever played the game. I won't do that. What I'm saying here is, again, if this team and this organization has long gone by the adage of, you know, doing what's in the best interest of the team, then they at least need to consider this internally, because I don't think they've given this one iota of a thought. Not once. It's like, well, it's Tom Brady. And I think you have to realize that what you have as a skill set playing with him does not match right now. He is not equipped at this stage of his career. You cannot argue this. He is not equipped at this stage of his career to deal with the youth and the inexperience and the inability of his skill set right now, of his skill players. He's just not. You need somebody that can get them the ball. He's trying. There's only so much he can do if the guys are running wrong routes. The guys are running wrong routes. How do you turn, you know, chicken crap into chicken salad? You have a mobile quarterback that can do it for you, and he's not that.
Do you think it's more mobility, or do you think it's just the fact that we're not able to...
It's all mobility. It's all mobility. I saw several times in looking at the game tape again where he simply could have jumped up into the slot and jumped up into the pocket and turned a nothing into a 3 or 4 or 5 yard game, just like Andy Dalton did. In fact, I thought Dalton turned away from several opportunities on Sunday that could have been worse on the Patriots defense. And I'll give the Patriots defense a hell of a lot of credit for keeping him hemmed in as long as they did.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. If you're going to have inexperienced guys, you know, I realize that you'd like to have an experienced quarterback, which they have, but they don't have an experienced quarterback that can get the ball moving where they need to go. And yes, he is hampered by not having Gronk, and he is hampered by not having Vereen, and he is hampered by not having Ridley last week. He's hampered by all that. Yes, I know that. And let's wait, please. Oh, John, let's wait until he gets everybody back. I'm going to tell you today, Chester, and everybody else that's within earshot right now, I'm not certain that we're going to get everybody back healthy on the same page at the same time this season. And if that happens, and what I'm thinking is coming to fruition, if that happens, then believe me, this conversation is not going anywhere.
Right. Well, that begs the question about the preparation in the offseason in terms of getting some depth and you know, anticipating injury.
Right.
You know, to me that was the biggest short-sighted move on the coaching staff, is that we didn't anticipate the fact that we could have lost some of these weapons. You know, we had guys like David Nelson out there that I was high on, you know, athletic guys that I think could have been a little bit more of a veteran presence. You know, and then we end up with Austin Colley, which who knows? But, you know, I mean, the guy's one hit away from being a vegetable, you know? And I mean, you know, I'm hoping that he adds a little something there. But my big point here is I think it has a lot to do with the lack of targets, the lack of time. And I'm sorry if I sound like a Brady apologist, but I think that what we're seeing with Brady in the short time to throw the ball is very reminiscent to what we saw, you know, in the Super Bowl against the Giants both times and, you know, against Baltimore and such, who have those formidable front sevens. To me, it's an offensive line failure, and it's a lack of target. And I think if we correct those, I think we see a different Tom Brady. And there's no doubt he's eclipsing the end of his career here. There's no question about that. But, you know, as far as panicking with 4-1, and I understand your point. You're not giving up on him and all that. But to me, I think there's a much bigger picture here in terms of why we're not clicking, namely last week. We just don't have a complete unit out there yet.
Okay.
And, I just want to level the field there and just put that out there.
Nope. You're entirely fair. I enjoy talking football with you because you're very level-headed and you make a lot of sense. And, you know, reasonable minds can agree to disagree. I don't think we're all that far apart, though, Chester. I really don't.
Now, just final thought on this, John.
Yeah.
Would you have rather have lost this game to a shootout with a terrible defensive output, or would you have rather lost a game where the defense stacked up and we lost because of a poor final drive of the game?
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
That's the lesser of two evils, you know? I mean,
yeah.
That's been plaguing us for years.
The one thing that we are moving toward, and Chester, thank you so much for the phone call today. The one thing we are moving toward is getting a championship caliber defense. So that's the silver lining in this cloud, this storm cloud at 4-1 on the year. I know it sounds stupid. Hey, we're 4-1. What the hell? I get it. I totally get that. I'm just opening up a bigger picture, and I'm opening up a conversation that nobody wants to go there yet. That's all I'm saying here. Joe in New Jersey. Joe, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
How's it going, John?
Good, Joe.
All right, just a few things. I want to give a shout-out to you, my dude Chester. Great call, great point.
He was, wasn't it? Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a few things. I don't want to carry on too much, but I just want to get a few things out there. My nitpick for the game on Sunday was the offensive line, specifically Nate Solder. I think he's got to get it in gear. And then as far as your point, I find it hard to disagree with you. I'm not going to grill you for it. I'm a bit of a realist. I think at some point we do have to start preparing for the future. And I know Pats Nation, on a majority, you know, everyone's scared to have that conversation because, as many people have said, we've been so spoiled for so long.
Correct.
But, you know, if you're not going to surround the guy with the necessary weapons, you know, then you need to find a quarterback that can cater to the contemporary game.
That's correct.
Hand, you know, we're either, you know, to me there's like two types of football teams. There's a team that are built for win now, and there's teams that are rebuilding. I don't think you can rebuild with a quarterback that has to win now because he's only got so many years left. He wants to think that he'll play till he's 50, but, you know, let's be real here. He's only got, you know, 3, maybe 4 years left in the tank. I get ridiculed on the PFW group all the time online by most people because I am very down on our receiving corps. And I gave them a fair shot, you know, in my head and everything, and I tried to stay positive. But when I see week in and week out, you know, running the wrong routes, triple catching balls that are thrown to them, you know, you name it, you know, it happens. And it just frustrates the ever-living hell out of me that you can have a quarterback like that, Hall of Fame to be, arguably one of the best, and I hate to say it, but you surround him with crap. And I just don't know, like, I don't know where the solution lies because we're too cheap to, you know, pay somebody some money that, you know, is going to go out there week in and week out and make plays and stay healthy is the other thing. I just feel like everybody we bring in is made of freaking glass.
Yep.
You know, what good is Amendola and Gronk? You know, I know he's got his problems, but what good is all the talent and upside if you can't stay on the field? So I just, for me, I'm very frustrated. I'm very torn because I don't want to, you know, send these rookies to the doghouse entirely, but At the same time, we have a quarterback whose years are limited, and I just don't know what to do. And as a Pats fan, watching them go out and, you know, lose the way they did and pretty much having an anemic offense, like, to quote somebody else that just called in before, I ride or die with these guys. And, you know, when they lose, my week sucks.
Yeah.
And it really hurts.
Yeah, and understood. And Joe, you know what? A lot of people feel very similar to you. All I'm trying to do is have the conversation here and wake and basically enter into the equation that this is something that has to be talked about. This is something that I'm sure has got to be talked about upstairs and down the hallway here at Gillette. I mean, nobody wants to go to that area because it's almost heresy. You know, it's coming.
Exactly.
So
if that's anything against Tom Brady.
Right. Right. Exactly. And all I'm saying is that if you're going to go this route, if you decided that you want to go this route with these receivers, that skills players, whatever, then you best have your best chance to get them the ball. Someone that can have a skill set that can match with the players that you have out there. I don't think that Brady is that guy, especially missing Gronk. Now, if Gronk comes back this next week, and I personally believe he's going to, like a lot of others, and we talked about this last week, and I made the call last week, and I believe I was correct. I said Amendola's coming back before Gronk, and it happened. And I think, you know, Gronk does come back this week. That's my, you know, my opinion based on everything else I've seen and I've heard and listened to around here. And I do think that will happen, but they're going to bring him back slowly. They're going to spoon feed him. I don't think they're going to throw him back out there and say, "All right, big fella, let's go. I'm going to hit you on the haunches and let's go play football." They're not going to do that. They're going to bring him back more slowly. It's not realistic to think he's going to go out there and catch 8 balls for 120 yards and 3 touchdowns. That ain't going to happen. If it does, I'll be the first person standing in line next Tuesday to swallow the crow, okay? I will be first. So they've got to be able to bring him along slowly, and we're still going to have some misfires, and we're still going to have some drop passes, and we're still going to have some sputtering on offense until everybody can get back up to speed, and that just flat out isn't going to happen until the second half of the season. So how do the Patriots survive it? That's part of the problem here right now.
I agree. And just 2 more points. I don't want to keep it too long. I want the rest of the Pats Nation to get their pieces. But number one, I know the trade deadline's coming up, obviously, in a few weeks. If you could trade for any one player, who would it be and why? It could be offense or defense. And how much would you be willing to give up? And the second thing is, on the reverse side of the ball, I know we've been talking offense, but on defense, as far as the lead goes, you know, I thought he did a solid job on A.J. Green. I know A.J. had his few fair plays, but we kept him at bay for the most part. Do you sign him this season, or do you let him play out and, you know, risk letting him hit the market? Because the last thing I personally want to see is him have a phenomenal year and then somebody offer him a great deal and have him walk out the door.
Who are you talking about again?
Tlaib.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great, Joe. And by the way, I'm not going to cop out here, but I actually was thinking about throwing that out as a question of the day for tomorrow. So, so you see, great minds think alike, Big Joe. So all I'm going to say is that I'm going to hold off on answering the trade thing. And I think I'm going to offer that to everybody for Wednesday, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
It's a great question. It's a great question. I'm dying to see the answers. And thank you for the phone call. I would tell you that as far as the Tlaib question is concerned, we talked a little about this last week. I think you got to sign the guy. I don't think there's any question about it. But I will tell you that I won't be surprised if they don't. And it's because of 2 things. 1, track record. I don't think the Patriots coaching staff values cornerbacks as much as we do. And I think it's part of the reason why we've seen a revolving door in that defensive backfield over the last few years. Now, maybe they'll change their tune, but I don't think they feel like that is a position that is worth the money. I hope I'm wrong, because I think Tlaib is one guy. You let Asante Samuel go. He went on. He's one of the few players that has actually gone on and actually done okay. I wouldn't say he's, you know, been a world beater or a shutdown corner, but Tlaib is probably going to be as close as you get to that. He's probably going to be as close as you get to that, short of trading for Darrell Revis. It's just, who knows? I think you got to pay the guy, and I think a lot of people agree, but I don't think the Patriots are going to do that, especially if it ends up wrecking another portion of their quote-unquote system and their budget and everything else, and it goes above and beyond what they feel like they need to pay for that position. They've lived and died by this process over the course of the last 19 years, 20 years now, that the Crafts have owned this franchise. They've operated like this over the last 14 years that Bill Belichick has been the de facto GM along with the head coach of this team. They just flat out have a system in place. They follow the system. And I'm telling you, I don't think cornerback is a part of that. Now, we'll see if they change their minds, but I don't believe it is. I think what they're also thinking about Tlaib, to be honest with you, is that, all right, go on out there, let's see what you can get, and then they'll end up franchising him by the deadline. And then they got to pay him the average of the top five salaries at the position. That in and of itself may still be too much for them to pay. But I hope they realize they got something going on defense. For all the woes on the offense that we're talking about today and that we've seen through the first 5 weeks of the season, for all of the problems that we're talking about here, and hell, I'm throwing out the whole, let's do something about Brady. I'm throwing that question out today. For all of the problems that are there, this team is 4-1, and this team has a defense that does seem, in light of the fact, especially in light of the fact that you've lost arguably your most valuable player on the defensive side of the ball in Vince Wilfork, you've got a defense that's playing its ass off. And guys that are stepping up and living up to the Patriot mantra of next man up. Can't say enough about Joe Villano, Chris Jones, those guys that stepped in, the rookies, man alive. For all of the failures that we've seen, especially in the defensive backfield, as I've talked about, how about the judgment of talent by the staff and by the coaches of some of these free agents that are starting to pay off? It's amazing. It's flat out. How does Joe Villano go undrafted? Here's Todd in Toronto. Todd, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, I just got a big point that kind of a little bit against you.
Go.
I don't think Brady's our issue. I really don't. I think the issue is trying to run a super complicated offense with rookies that just doesn't function. You got to dumb it down so your guys running out for your passes aren't trying to think about the route. Take it back a step. You develop that offense with a lot of veteran players, and it's really complicated. I put this entire first five games with the offense looking crappy over and over again solely on McDaniel and Bill, because it had to change. Keep Brady. He can mentor. He can mentor a young quarterback and get him in there. Develop everything together. Use what you've got left with Brady. You don't need to trade him. Just use what he's got left. He's not costing you a big bucks. He took a pay cut. But don't. Seriously, don't start looking for all this other stuff. Dumb it down. Dumb it down until they're ready to make that next step. Because right now, it's insane. Run more, pass, take simpler pass routes, take it back a step. That's my big issue.
Yes, and that's a very good point, Todd. And there's a lot of merit to what you have, to what you're saying. But I would tell you that dumbing it down is not in their style. The Patriots are stubborn to a fault, to a point that, well, this is where we are, this is who we are, this is our playbook, and it's up to these guys as professional players to come up to our level, not us to dumb it down. And this is where some of the stubbornness of the higher-ups and the coaching staff comes into play and almost becomes a detriment to the overall well-being of this franchise.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to start looking to Mensa to get their players?
Maybe.
Because that's what they're going to have to do. Because
maybe. Either that, or they're going to have to go. Either that, Todd, or they're going to have to do what I suggested, and they're going to have to go find physical players that can match what they feel they need in order to play the way they feel they need to out on the field. And I don't think Brady matches the skill set any longer. That's all I'm saying here.
Yeah, but to do what you say also is going to cost money, because they're going to look for a whole different set if they're going to retool. Because they brought these tools in to kind of match with what Brady wants to do. That's what they thought they would be able to do.
This team is not going to be hurting for that kind of capability once they get past next year when Aaron Hernandez drops off the cap list. His number goes. So that will help, and that's about the time frame that you're going to need to really start addressing this. All I'm doing is opening up the discussion today. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, no, I like what you say. I still would like to keep Brady as a mentor. I would like to keep him. As someone that
I'd love to keep him as the quarterback to age 40, as long as you've got the right people around him, which they don't have.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think you can pluck the right people. I think you have to develop them, and that's why you should have you need some options there that are a little less, you know, Superman focused, where, you know, it's not only the next man up, it's the next super genius up to play on the offense.
You need, for Tom Brady to be effective and to be the kind of quarterback we all expect him to be, he's got to have, you know, the Wes Welkers of the world. There, I said it.
No,
and the Patriots made a fundamental wrong decision in letting Welker go.
Man, come late for your next show so the PFW guys aren't around, because they're going to razz you for that one.
That's okay. That's fine. We, in fact, that's why, you know, I get along with those guys, because we disagree a lot. I know they realize, oh, Amendola's the guy, Amendola's the guy. Amendola can't stay healthy.
No.
I want somebody who's proven. And the one thing that Welker was proven.
Yep.
He did it. Even if he only does it for one more year, he was proven.
And you also need somebody to mentor the young guys, too.
You know, there you go. See, that's where all I'm saying is that, you know, the proof. Look, everybody loved. Here's a great case in point, Todd.
Yep.
Everybody loved Ross Idaling when they drafted him a couple of years ago, because he was the prototype new aged corner in the NFL. Had size, had an athletic ability. Never mind the fact that he couldn't stay healthy even in college, no less at Virginia. But they're bringing him in anyway, and they waste a first draft pick, or, you know, first pick of the second round on him. The guy can't stay on the field because he's hurt all the time. So he's a bust because he can't stay on the field. Amendola, I'm not going to call him a bust, but he's got to learn to stay on the field, which is something that Welker could do and still does.
And you just proved my point that it's Bill and McDaniels. It goes back to the coaching. It goes back to their mindset. And you said it earlier, they're too damn stubborn to realize that they're not going to always have this perfect personnel. You can't. It's impossible. They don't.
And you need to have personnel that's flexible enough to be able to go back and forth and make these changes on the fly, because this team is getting bit by injuries and getting bit hard.
Exactly.
Now, I realize, again, they're 4-1. They still lead the division. They're still in great shape. In fact, they're in better shape than I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be 3-2 right now. So what the hell do I know? I totally understand with that. But I'm just saying, it could still get worse before it gets better.
Oh, it will. And I think that next week is going to show it.
Oh, yeah.
Quite soundly. Just if you want to know where all your weaknesses are, you play a team like the Saints,
and that
could be your litmus test.
Absolutely, and frankly, I'm glad that the defense is a strength now, because they're going to need every stinking bit of it against Drew Brees.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, man. That was a good conversation. Usually, the PFW guys just kind of poo-poo me and hang up on me. So
no, I'll never poo-poo on you, Todd.
Thanks, John. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. All right, appreciate that. Our boy Eldridge in North Carolina is up next. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
All right. I got to agree with you on, and some to disagree with you on.
Go.
But I know later on, like another year or two, we had to bring it up about Brady. But right now, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah, sad son, he did throw some bad passes, but mainly that was in the rain. But he also, if you look on the other hand, was distressed most of the time. And the time when he did throw, hit the receivers in the hand, in the chest, right where they're supposed to catch it, and they kept dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman dropped. Dotson dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Amendola dropped. You know, and I'm like, there. And Thompson, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for them, like I said, I agree with that last caller. The problem is Bill, and I'm going to keep saying it one more time, Bill. And that point you brought about Ross Idaling, you're right. Because Patrick Peterson was right in that same draft cast. And I think Bill said, same guy, just get him more value.
Right.
Like I said before, a value pick is only good at McDonald's, which is one through 10. That's the only time a value pick is only good at.
Our guys' problem right now, Eldridge, I really believe, is a fundamental one. They're going on prototype as opposed to who can really play. I don't really care so much about a guy's size as I care about his ability. Can he play? I want to be able to see it. I want to be able to watch it. Does the guy look like a player? Does he smell like a player? If he is, he can play. I'm not going to worry about, well, but he doesn't fit the prototypical cornerback size, or he's not the typical offensive lineman size. I don't care about any of that. Can he play? And I think that's where our evaluation has gone wrong.
That's my point, too, John, because many times, like I kept telling PFW guys from the last 4 years, and they probably agree with me this early part of this year, they got the wrong receivers.
Yeah,
I mean, the wrong receivers, the wrong corners, and like I said, New England always like them short, slow, can't cover fast receiver cornerback. They want them short, slow, maybe medium sized, might be a little slow, possession type receivers. You can't have just them type. You got to have somebody that can stretch the field, scare them out the defense, so those underneath guys can work, and your running game will work. We never had that for one time. That was 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Long time we ever had that.
Right.
Defensive wise, I got to give them props for kind of, you know, hold up a little bit. But, man, every time I see Arrington getting beat, Dillard getting beat, you know, Gregory late on a deep cover, or McCourty, I'm like, darn, you know, how the devil can you be out of position all the darn time? Not sometimes, all the time. You know, and the problem is, you know, on our corners, shoot, they got receivers, first-year receivers or rookies, to make them look like rookies.
Right.
Because they're catching and running on them. And then we got these receivers that, I don't know, the pressure, fear pressure or whatever, but can't catch. And now, like I told them the other week, passed on Cordell Patterson, passed on Ruben Randall. Ruben Randall was going to be the number one receiver for the Jazz pretty soon. He started off like everybody else. 1 year, next year, he blossomed.
Okay.
And then I told him, I said, when they got Dobson, like, man, you should have got Hunter, or you should have got Rick Rogers. No, the problem. Well, I think Hunter's up to the seat in 2 games.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, like I said, it's the wrong guy.
Right.
Now, my problem is Bill. And I keep telling him, one more time, I'll let it go. We got 5-6 different slots because they done cut people that's available, you know what I mean, that you can bring people on to add to the 53-man roster. Why they ain't filling? You know, why you want to bring back Cole, cut him, bring him back?
Well, because he's – that's just a matter of semantics. That's because they can. I mean, he's got the availability of his deal to where he can do that, and because he doesn't have the time put into the NFL yet. So that's just a byproduct of being, you know, last man on the totem pole. So, I mean, that has nothing really to do with talent evaluation at all. That's strictly a business decision.
It might be business, but talent-wise, he still can't cover either. And then, but you got people out there like,
I don't know that that's entirely fair, Eldridge, because we haven't seen the guy play enough yet. What about another nitpick for this week? You got any?
Another nitpick?
Yeah.
Oh, another nitpick. My nitpick is you got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you should have put some receivers that was out there on the market with him. That's my nitpick. I've been saying that for years. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback, first round ballot. and you're surrounding with shrubs.
Oh, that's great.
Surrounding
I love it.
With shrubs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, that's okay. At least I set you up good for that one, Eldridge. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call. All right. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break here. I got a ton of emails. I got Facebook posts. I got tweets to read. And, yes, I got some open phone lines available for you. It's 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Hit up the email account, webradio@patriots.com, @JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, nitpicks for the week. And am I off my rocker? Some of you say so, and I'm going to get to those emails coming up right here in the playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
The daggers are coming in fast and furious. That's okay. I'm a big boy. We can handle it here. Keep them coming. Web radio at Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. I open up the program by saying that maybe, if you're just joining us here live today, I open up the program today by saying that maybe the Patriots need to think about going a different direction, and yes, that means starting at quarterback. You know, it seems to me that the game of the NFL game, as it certainly stands right now, is moving toward more agile, mobile quarterbacks. And right now, for the skill set that the Patriots have on offense with the younger receivers, the less experienced guys, they need somebody that can make something out of nothing. They need somebody that can make chicken salad out of chicken bleep. And the Patriots don't have that right now at quarterback. They don't. They have one of the all-time greatest to have ever played the game at that position, but they don't have somebody that can help them get wins right now. The reason they're 4-1 is because the defense has led them to 4-1. You know it, I know it, we all know it. And the defense is going to get stretched to the limit this Sunday when New Orleans comes to town. And I fear we're going to really see, when we compare Tom Brady and Drew Brees this Sunday, I fear that we're going to really begin to see that what I'm saying today is beginning to make sense. I'll leave it at that. In the meantime, keep the daggers coming. For instance, let me start off with Twitter here. Todd says, "What did Eric Scalavino do to you?" That's my favorite. I love that one. I'm going to favorite that tweet. Michael says, "How does matching crap rookie wide receivers with a running QB make them catch the ball? I don't get it." No. You're right. You don't get it. The running QB can pick up yardage when the crap rookie wide receiver continues to drop the ball, and therefore you get something out of nothing. Michael also says, "Wow, nice rant. I couldn't disagree more. Get Brady some talent to work with. BB and Kraft have failed him this offseason." All right. We will agree there, Michael. We will definitely agree there. Cav says, "Sorry, can't call in, but my nitpick is with the offense after the forced fumble. You gotta turn that into points. It's a must." That's another good nitpick, Cav. First nitpick that I gave, though, at the opening of the program, seems to have gotten lost today, is the fact that this team's third down conversion was abysmal. I mean, 1 for 12 against Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati has a very good defense, but not 1 for 12 good. David, several tweets in here. Says, "I think this is a subject," talking about Brady, "for the offseason, that it's or during a losing season." It says, "Continuation, sure, Brady is coming to the end, but so was Brett Favre a few years ago and still made it to the playoffs. Come on." He says, "Are you crazy taking TB12 out and bring someone else in? John, it hasn't even been a full season yet, and you're already talking about this." Again, I get it. I get it. But this is my observation on this team to this point in time. It's 4-1. I can understand where they would say, "Hey, you know, you're making something out of nothing here." But I'm trying to look at the bigger picture, which is a problem, I think, that this franchise has not really satisfactorily addressed, is the big picture. I don't think they realized going into the season how much of a problem having the inexperience on wide receiver coupled with the injury problems and the jail problems at tight end, how much that was really going to force Brady to be a younger version. Or a guy who could, you know, actually make the snap throws and actually maybe, you know, step up in the pocket for 3 or 4 yards and pick up something out of nothing, where he can't do that now. Anybody see how many times he got hit by the Bengals front four this week? Too much. And I'm telling you, because of the agile nature of the defensive lines, where a lot of teams now in the NFL are beginning to go with smaller, quicker, more agile defensive tackles. And you've seen some of this as well, that called the New York Giants defense, right? Where the Patriots did that with Chandler Jones and moved him to the inside this past year, or earlier this season, in fact, you know, to create mismatches in the offensive line with their quickness. All things in the NFL, all things in life in the National Football League are cyclical. They are. And so now where we've been used to seeing 300-pound linemen, you're going to start to see more and more teams get more agility and more quickness and more speed in those down lineman positions. So it's great if you got size, but if you guys can run around them or through them because of their quickness and their agility, that's what you're going to see happen. And so you're going to have some kind of a quarterback that can do that. Somebody who can roll the pocket. Somebody who could be like a Fran Tarkenton or a Roger Staubach, or somebody who's actually able to stand in the pocket and throw, but also move if the situation warrants. You and I both know Tom's not that kind of guy. Michael on Twitter also says, my main nitpick was the O-line. All veterans, many mistakes. Brady needs the time with rookie wideouts to play for plays to develop, step up. Could not have said it better. Could not have said it better. Rodolfo, love this one on Twitter. He says, my internet connection's choppy. Thankfully, the stream stopped when you started talking nonsense. You are worse than Big Al. See, Big Al, you got fans. You got fans all over the freaking country here, buddy. Love you. Love you. I know you're not afraid to tell us what you think. No matter how silly it might be, you're not afraid to tell us. David also suggests this. He says, the iPhone has email, text, talk, browsing, iTunes, Pandora, Twitter, Facebook, and so on and so forth. I think that you would like it. Thank you for the suggestion, David. And then I have someone else here for Patriots Extra. Thanks, by the way, guys. I do read your stuff. Patriots Extra says here, you need to get the Samsung 4. It's better than the iPhone. Thank you for the suggestions. I will admit, that is one of the questions I asked to start the day because I got to go shopping for a new phone tonight. I will admit that I'm leaning toward the Samsung 4. I am. I have been for a while. I just need somebody to tell me why that's not the right move to make. So there. He says the biggest nitpick of the week is the fans. They bash the hell out of this team and that we should trade Brady and fire Belichick. I don't think we should trade Brady as long as you're going to put the right talent around him. But if you're committed, again, as I said in the opening hour of the program, if you are committed to this set of receivers and this skill set that they, the talents that they own, I'm saying that maybe Tom Brady is not what you need at quarterback. You may need to find somebody different. If you truly are interested in the long-term viability of this team and this franchise, do you want to keep this team competitive? You've managed to keep it pretty competitive for 14 years, or at least 13 of the 14, right? Since Bill Belichick has been the head coach. That's a hell of a run. Better than anybody else in the NFL. Do you want to keep that going? Or do we want to get bad and then build it back up again? I don't think you have to, but you have to make tough choices in order to do that. And Bill Belichick knows that. Robert Kraft knows that. They all know this. That was what part of what I think you saw this year before we got into it. They're trying to get younger. 2 years ago, this was the second oldest team in the NFL. Now, this team is the second youngest when you count first and second year players on the roster. That's quite a metamorphosis in 2 years' time. I've said that several times. I will repeat it until we're all nauseous over it because it's still the truth. But at some point, you got to expect the young guys to pick it up. Patriots' mantra has always been next man up. But the next man up is more inexperienced than the first guy up. So how is that going to get better? You've matched the wrong people. That's the problem on offense. You just don't have the right mix. That's all I'm saying. You just don't have the right mix. I don't want to get rid of Tom either, and I think Tom can still get it done. Like Patriots Extra says here, he says, would you start to bring in Mallet at the end of games or when Brady struggles in games? No. Because I don't think Ryan Mallett's any better either. I just don't. I don't think he's the answer. It's kind of how I look at it. All right, let me get to some emails here because I got a ton of them to get to. Here we go. Todd in California, in Canada. Todd in Canada says, I don't like the new angry tone. Spending way too much time with Eric. No, this has nothing to do with Eric. But I appreciate that. Thank you. Oh, goodness. All right, here's Olu from Maryland who says, here's your argument. You're saying the rookie receiver is not good enough for Tom Brady to cover their deficiencies, and it's all because Brady is not athletic enough anymore. I would argue that the means these receivers are not good enough for Peyton Manning either because he's also unathletic. But, oh, by the way, Peyton Manning is still probably good enough to be the unanimous MVP of this league. So what are you saying? Obviously, the Pats have to eventually think about replacing Tom. That's a no-brainer. Maybe even should start that process right now. But come on, every QB is only as good as their weapons. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. But you underestimated or you overestimated your weapons. So if you're going to stay with the weapons because they're younger, don't you have to have somebody who's able to pull the trigger and get the ball to them? That's exactly what I'm saying here. Now, Olu does say we still have his top five quarterback. Yes, I know we do. He's certainly not the problem. I agree with that. I don't necessarily think that Brady's the problem. What I'm saying is this is a fundamental decision that the team, the franchise, must be going through. We're going to go with these guys because we still need to keep the team young. Then what do we do about the guy who's going to get the ball to him? Because clearly this mix ain't working right now. And it ain't going to get any better anytime soon until we get all the pieces to the puzzle back. And then once we get all the pieces to the puzzle back, we got to keep them healthy because there's very little depth. Oh, yeah, that's right. What happens when somebody gets hurt again? Then we're right back at square one. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, Peyton's not exactly an athletic type either. But I did see Peyton Manning scoring a freaking bootleg against the Dallas Cowboys this week. You think that's in the Patriots' arsenal? Come on. Olu also says here from Washington, he says, so you're saying that Brady's not physically able to perform as an elite quarterback. I'm sorry, but that is quite wow. I mean, talk about a knee-jerk reaction. I don't see it that way. Obviously, he's probably the least athletic quarterback in the entire league. That's my point. He's not equipped to do what the Patriots need him to do in order to take advantage of the skill sets of the guys that they also have on offense. It's not a match. And you don't have to be a flipping rocket scientist to see that. Just start in the conversation. The problem is I think that many of you who are absolutely, you know, oh, Rook, you're full of it today. No, you're not opening up your eyes and you're not looking at football. That's what you're not doing. You're still married to Tom Brady, which is fine. That's okay. Guys included. I understand that. I totally get it. One of the best to have ever played the game. And he'll go down in that. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. That we can all agree upon. I'm just not sure that if you're going to make this decision to go this route, he's the guy that needs to be standing in there. That's all I'm saying. Robin in Alaska, I can agree that right now the Patriots seem to be putting too much on Brady's shoulders. I agree the Patriots seem to be hoping Brady's football greatness, which mostly comes from his tactical acuity, can make up for everything else, including his own age, mileage, created limitations. With that said, I'm certain that this team would look different if Hernandez wasn't a psycho, if Gronk was ready to go, if Vereen and Ridley were healthy, and if Amendola was held together by more than shoelaces and Band-Aids. This team was built to help an aging Brady while at the same time get younger. This team was equipped to walk that tightrope, which unfortunately Lady Luck had other ideas. I think there are only two ways to fix this situation. Throw a bunch of picks at a team to take their star player. Or buckle down and fight through the issues. I believe the Patriots will look to fight it out. You know, Robin, that is an outstanding email, and I frankly agree with it 110% on both sides. You're right. The fact that Hernandez turned out to be a psycho, this team did not plan on, and that really threw a major kink into their equation for this season. I think that most likely they probably would have brought in somebody else with veteran worth had they realized that Hernandez was going to turn out to be, you know, what he turned out to be. If Gronk was ready to go, well, this is an entirely different issue. But it's my feeling deep down that this team pushed him back too early last year. You know, and that's one thing that Eric and I do agree upon. We talked about this a little last week. And I do believe that there has been some gnashing of the teeth between the two parties, between the Patriots and Camp Gronk. And I think Camp Gronk won. And I think they've held him out about as long as they possibly can. And that's why I think Gronk will probably come back this week. Basically to prove a point. And not a minute before, he could have come back really, realistically, if he'd gone on the PUP. Actually, a minute before. 6 weeks out if you're on the PUP, and this will be week six, so he would have come back week seven. So really, you couldn't hold him out any longer. So I think Camp Gronk has proved their point, and I think the Patriots have also proved their point, and now the pissing match is over, and you'll see Gronk back this week. That's kind of what I think. I do think that they will also buckle down and fight through these issues. And I do think the Patriots will look to fight it out this year because they really don't have any other choice. But I think in the offseason, they've got to look at addressing this team, continuing to keep it young, but also realizing that, you know what, we're not getting any younger under center either. Ryan Mallett is not the answer. Certainly Tim Tebow is not the answer. Who's the answer? And is there somebody out there available to us that is the answer? And that will be a fundamental decision made in this organization. Carmine in Fort Erie, Ontario, Canada. John, this is the fault of the brain trust switching over to many positions at one time, letting Wes Walker slip through their hands and knowing Gronk would not be ready until after the regular season started. This whole season's difficulty is because of the Patriots' brain trust and not Tom Terrific Brady. Yeah. I think so, Carmine. Absolutely. I think that's actually a very good point. I've told you, I'd love to ride with Brady well into his 40s as long as they build the team up around him to where the team is good enough to play with Tom. The team's good enough to help Tom. The problem is Tom is not young enough to help the team. He's got to have some experience at his beck and call in order to be the Tom that we all know and love and appreciate. And he doesn't have it. That's the problem. Michael in Cotter says, John, thank you for a great show as always. I hope you're just getting the discussion rolling when you start talking about trading Brady. Your premise is that Tom is no good if he's missing Hernandez, Gronk, Amendola, Wes, and then Brady. Is that the problem? Denver shows how wrong you are. If you have a quality pocket passing QB and we have one of the best, get him some talent and we'd be cruising. Step off the ledge, John. Guys, you're not understanding me. That's exactly what I'm saying. They don't have the talent around him. So who are you going with? Are you going to go with the aging quarterback, or are you going to go with the young talent? And if you're going to go with the young talent, then you need a quarterback that can get the young talent the ball, because I don't think Brady's the guy that can do that for the aforementioned inability to step up in the pocket and create something from nothing. That's what I'm saying. Mike in Norfolk. Rook, my nitpick was, in fact, a nitpick in the earlier part of the season. But after Sunday's loss, I'm upgrading it to a full-blown concern. My concern is with the offense's inability to run the ball when they absolutely must. The most glaring examples have been the two fumbled snaps on fourth and short in successive weeks, and on first and goal inside the two in the fourth quarter on Sunday. To my eyes, seems like the majority of the O-line is getting a decent push, but Ryan Wendell is getting none. We simply cannot run over center. And twice when we've tried to, he or Brady has blown the snap. Would it be worth considering moving Connolly back to center and trying the bigger Marcus Cannon at guard? Mike, that's an outstanding point. Congratulations. You get it. You're 110% spot on. Running game is a big part. That was another nitpick. I think I had it number 3 or 4 on my list this week, but it definitely was on the list. Fact of the matter is that this team can't run over center. Fact of the matter is, a couple of times we've seen Brady fumble the snap is because it has been a communication problem between him and Ryan Wendell, because Wendell's trying to get off the snap quicker, and Brady's not set, or he's not hitting his target, which I understand shouldn't be that difficult. You got to snap it between your legs, right? But there's something askew there. The reason it's askew is because Wendell's trying to get off the block to get his man. He's getting overpowered in the middle. You are correct, sir. There needs to be some attention paid to center. Watch it if you don't believe me. Take a look at it if you don't think that that's the case. That is partly the problem. And we had some fundamental breakdowns all up and down the line this year. I actually do think that Marcus Cannon would be a great guard in the NFL. I know there's still, you know, it's got to be a question of versatility. You know, he was a college tackle, but I think he's a quintessential college, pro guard, and I think that the Patriots will continue to look at him in that realm. Bingo on the email, Mike. That's a good observation. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, all right, Rook, let's take a look at how many agile mobile read option quarterbacks have won in the last 20 Super Bowls. Okay, stop, Joel. I didn't say read option quarterbacks. I'm talking about guys that can simply move around in the pocket and create something from nothing. You don't have to be a read option guy. You don't have to be Kaepernick. You don't have to be RG3. You don't have to be any of that stuff. What I'm saying is you need to be a guy that can move the pocket. but still have the acumen to throw the ball upfield. Because I think we all can see that sometimes the mobile, agile, read option type QBs are not the answer because of their willingness to run first. And now we've seen RG3 get hurt, and we've seen Colin Kaepernick get rattled, and Geno Smith is not going to be far away from that. He had a great game last night against Atlanta. There's no question about that. But Atlanta's defense is terrible. And even worse if they allow Geno Smith to throw for 80% completions like he did. By the way, that Atlanta win a week ago is not looking so good right now, is it, for the Patriots? Atlanta's got some problems. And maybe the Jets aren't quite as bad as we all thought they would be. So, you know, he says, I'll take the current version of Brady over 95% of the quarterbacks currently in the league. I hate to quote Giselle, but he can't catch the ball as well. One bad game doesn't end his career. Correct, Joel. That part you are correct on. You still need somebody that he can get the ball to that will hold on to the ball. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about this in 5 more weeks. So let's revisit, Joel, right? 5 more weeks, let's revisit and see where it goes. Dylan in Utah, you bring up a very interesting point about Tom Brady. I tend to agree with you. Oh, stop. I tend to agree with you that they may have miscalculated his value. But I also think they've made his contract very tradable in the last few years of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe his base salaries are fairly low for a top QB. Correct. Dobson, Boyce, Edelman, Amendola, Gronk, they're athletic. They need to be able to play schoolyard ball like a lot of these quarterbacks can do now. Cap, Breeze, Wilson, Luck, even Romo. The game is clearly changing, and they will need to adapt. Thank you, Dylan. Correct. That's all I'm saying here. You got to adapt. And if you're going to stay with the receivers you got, I don't really have a problem with that. I do want to see them hold on to the ball. And if Dobson and Boyce aren't quick to learn and we don't see that upward curve, I mean, I realize we're going to see 2 steps forward and 1 step back and 2 steps forward and 1 step back. I agree with that. As long as we don't see 2 steps back, 1 step forward, 2 steps back, 1 step forward, because that means you're regressing. Last week was a step back. Now we need to see a step forward this week against New Orleans. New Orleans' defense, and we'll be talking about this week, Rob Ryan, former Patriots linebacker coach, obviously, you know, he's turned this defense around in pretty short order. I'll be interested to see the match of wits here between Josh McDaniels and Rob Ryan. I think that'll be one of the battles within the battle, which is why this is going to, I think this shapes up to be a fantastic chess match of a football game this Sunday here at Gillette. I really believe it. I can't wait. This is a early season game that I can't wait for, because you're going to have two teams that should be contenders, are contenders, and at very different stages of their season. Patriots are trying to get healthy, and the Saints are rolling. And the Saints think that they have a defense to go along now with an offense that can still score from anywhere on the field at any time. Why? Breeze has targets that will go to the ball and know where they're going, and will hold on to it, that Brady doesn't have right now. Good points, all. Tim in San Francisco. John, 3 things. I was in Dallas this past weekend, shared some talk with the locals about James Street. My girlfriend's aunt was at UT when he played there. She remembers him well. We talked about his big pass you referred to in 69. Hook him. Thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate that. Number 2, he says, go with the Samsung Galaxy S4. Got a bigger screen, which allows for easier typing than the iPhone. The camera's amazing, an underrated feature. I got to admit, that's kind of why I'm leaning toward the Samsung. Not, I realize it's a little bigger, which I don't like, but the fact is that it's easier to type, and I've got, you know, stupid fingers. He says, also makes for better video streaming. I streamed the Sox game last night while at work. It was great. Samsung makes a great product. Thank you. And then he says, I still believe in Brady and the offense once Gronk and Vereen come back. The defense is great. Pats will run to the AFC Championship against Denver. Will be a classic Brady-Manning matchup. Getting rid of Brady's ridiculous. He's the heart and soul of the team. He's still an elite QB, the best player on the team. I don't want to get rid of him either. But I think you've got to make some fundamental decisions in where you're going with this team for the future. I'm just not sure Brady's the guy that can get them to where you want to go. I think that is a fundamental flaw in the decision, in the process of getting to that decision. All right. Vivek says, John, thrilled you read my post online last week from Toronto. Thank you. Nitpick, online O-line pass protection. Way too many breakdowns. Maybe weather, may just have been a bad day for the O-line. Okay, good nitpick. He says, worst team might be Tampa Bay. That was my other question of the day that kind of got buried in our Brady discussion today. I said, worst team other than Jacksonville is fill in the blank. He says, might be Tampa Bay, might be worse than the Jags because they don't have as many excuses. A lot of people will say the Jets, but they look pretty good Monday. I think Doug Martin was overhyped after a good half year. Giants look bad, but they did it last time and they won the Super Bowl too. Can never discount them. Well, right now I'm going to discount them, Vivek, just simply because the Giants are 0-5. I don't think they're crawling out of that hole. I just don't think they're crawling out of that hole. Mark from Saskatchewan. Tough game to watch Sunday. Sucks the Pats lost. Brady's TD streak is over. So like the game, when it rains, it pours, but they're still 4-1 and first in the AFC East. My nitpick is Gronkowski. Sure, the game had lots to nitpick, but to me, it's the whole Gronk thing. Time for him to suck it up, help his team win some games. He's been practicing and pretty much all there except for games when they need him the most. Hope he's back for the Saints. They need him now. I addressed this in the opening hour a little bit, Mark. I think that the reason that he hasn't been there has been kind of a pissing match back and forth between the organization and his camp. And I think they're just making sure that he's completely healthy because I think they're a little nervous. They don't want to have happen to him what happened last year. And he came back too early last year. And I think in hindsight being 2020, it always is, in hindsight he came back too early last year because there was a push to try to win last year. I get the process. But you've already re-signed him to the big deal. And I think this is where the Patriots are capitulating right now. You know, you should have looked at the bigger picture last year. You had him signed to that big deal a year ago. Now you're using the excuse. And I heard Jonathan Kraft say this. He said, you know, he's here for the long haul. Great. Why'd you bring him back early last year? And I think it's because they're getting pressure. And I think he's trying to be smart with his contract, with his future. And I don't blame him. Because I think the Patriots erred in bringing him back early last year. That's all I'm saying. It's a mistake. Okay, fine. Let's move on from here. We all learn. Nobody's perfect. That's all I'm saying. Fat Beaver. Yo, Rook. First of all, this team does have to lose games. And that was a second straight road game without Ridley and Wilfork. A lot of football left for a good team, of course. According to the local medias this season, it's already over. But go figure, these people. My nitpick on Tuesday is field position. But that has become a struggle for the team the past couple of years. And red zone play calling. Ooh, I like that one. Red zone play calling. One I hadn't really had listed today, but that's a good one. I trust Jay Mack. He's a great OC, no question. But his red zone calls were questionable that day. It's a good team. Go Pats. They got to keep it up. Red zone play calling. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you're dealing with your strength. That's a very good point. In touchdowns scored in the red zone, this team is next to last. Only ahead of Jacksonville in the entire NFL. That is inexcusable for a Tom Brady-led offense. Flat out inexcusable. No excuses. I don't care if you have me at wide receiver. That's inexcusable. And if you had me at wide receiver, then you're sure as hell not going to have Tom Brady at quarterback because Tom Brady can't get me the quarterback. I mean, can't get me the ball from his quarterback spot. Pete in Augusta, Maine. One great big nitpick. Given all that this team has been through, I can't believe how people cut them up. Yeah, people who aren't fans of this team, I can see, but to be 4-1 at this point, come on. No Wilfork, and Kelly goes down, and still the defense keeps close enough for a chance. By the way, that's a huge story within the story this week. Let's wait and see what happens tomorrow when the first injury report comes out, but Tommy Kelly, if he goes, this team has got to make a move somewhere. He said in the locker room after the game everything was good. He was walking without a limp. We'll find out starting tomorrow. Here's the hope factor, Pete says, and sorry, Bill, I'm looking into the future. When we play Denver, if we have all of our weapons back and the offense flip-flops what the defense is doing, then I think we finish strong. If we don't win and play well at that point, we're done, and we'll be lucky to make the playoffs. Thank you, Pete. Sean in Vancouver. John Munipig was the interior pass rush protection. New England continues to have trouble with teams that have a good inside rush. This is when Brady really struggles and it kills drives. I think New England got away from the running game after Blunt's fumble. You're absolutely right, because they didn't trust him to hold on to the ball. Patriots didn't trust him to carry the ball as much, and Bolden wasn't able to get the tough yards running it. When Cincinnati saw that New England was in pass mode, they really came after the quarterback. This team is not like last year. They can't just pass the ball 40 times a game. They need balance. It requires more healthy running backs. I think the Patriots will improve offensively, but it'll happen when Gronk and Ridley are back and get even better once Vereen is healthy again. The defense is much better, but it really hurts not having Will Fork and now Kelly. It's time to prepare for the high-powered, undefeated Saints. It will be a huge challenge. You're 100% correct, Sean. We got some very prescient nitpickers today. Yep. Spot on. Dave from Ottawa says, my new name for Tompkins, by the way, is two times, because he never catches the ball once. It takes two times. It's true. Seems like he bobbles it and then pulls it in, right? Yeah. It's actually a good point. Olu writes back from Maryland. He says, well, I do agree with your point in a sense. Maybe we do need a more mobile QB, given the talent at our disposal right now. So can you name five guys in the NFL right now who would fit this bill? No, I can't, because I don't think the guy they need is in the NFL. He says, I'd venture Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are the only guys who have the combination of mobility and tactical acumen that I would take over Brady. Perhaps Andrew Luck, but he's not quite Tom in cerebral terms. Well, let's give a guy like Andrew Luck a chance to grow into it. If you could get Andrew Luck, I'm taking him. But they're not going to get him, so forget that. He says, there's no such guy in the draft, I don't think. I just want to know who you think would be a better option. Okay. I don't think there is a better option right now. But I think you have to start looking for him. You just got to start the process. That's all I'm saying. That's it. There's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. Not completely and totally, you know, off the radar. That's really all there is to it. Let's see. Back to the online media, back to social media here. David says, one last thing. You are about this one thing. Realistically, they need to draft a quarterback in the future due to the way the league is heading towards. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, David. They got to at least think about it, because that's the way the league is going. Dylan says, you're wrong about Gronk. He would have first been eligible to practice week 7. He would not have played if he was on PUP. No, Dylan, I said that. I said he could have been up to week 6. Week 7 is when he could come back. I think he's proven a point, and then now he's moving on. He's going to come back the week that they actually need him. I thought he'd come back a week before that. And I did miscalculate that earlier, but realizing that, yeah, it's up to week 6 and then on to week 7, yeah, that's part of the problem. Marco says, my nitpick this week, aside of the obvious, the missing spark on offense overall, they're not having fun. The defense is, well, they're enjoying it. That's as good as any. That's absolutely as good as any. They're not having fun. Nope, they're not having fun. So let's have some fun out there. Catch the ball! That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get to Facebook, because I got a lot of good ones here on Facebook as well. And thank you. I've had actually several people line up today in terms of friend requests. So that's really cool in the middle of a show. Appreciate that. Happy to do it. It's all good. All right, here we go. Let's start with Jonathan, who says, my nitpicks today are on the fans. We are what we should nitpick today. Yes, the offense was bad. Yes, the defense put us in position to win, and there was no follow-through. And yes, the points we needed didn't come from the offense when we needed them most. But the season is still young. Our defense is still good. Our offense will improve as the season goes on. I'm tired of this woe is me, our team is bad, doom and gloom talk after just one loss. This team will get better, especially after we get Gronk back. All we need is time. If these fans want to think the sky is falling from a rocky start, then they need to leave the band and get the hell off the wagon. Okay. Well, I don't know. I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration. But I don't think all the fans are ready to jump off the bandwagon, Jonathan. I'm certainly not ready to jump off the bandwagon. I like the way the defense is going, in spite of the fact that they've lost Vince Wilfork for the year. I'm very happy with the way that Brandon Spikes played last week. You know, this is going to get kind of glossed over by all the nitpicks on a Tuesday, but I thought Brandon Spikes did exactly what he needed to do. There was some run blitz situations where he clogged the hole, ran the gap very well. He had a pick last week as well. Brandon Spikes had the kind of game that the Patriots expected of him, and I think that we all expected of him, and I think he helped himself immensely, as well as his team, with his performances last week. Volano, I said earlier, tremendous. Jones, a rookie, tremendous. But those guys are going to need some help, especially if Kelly is out, you know, for any time at all. But it's a step in the right direction. Sean, John, my nitpicks for the game on Sunday. O-line allowing 4 sacks, offense for only getting 6 points. First time I could say my baseball team outscored my football team. Receivers for drop passes. Defense played good as usual. Holding a team to 13 on the road is pretty good. You're right, it is. I agree with your suggestion. They start looking at the quarterback position. Not saying trade Brady today, but you have to keep your options open. I think they should at least entertain drafting a quarterback that Brady could mentor. I'm not sure Mallett's the answer. Anyway, go Pats and go Sox. Of course. Sean, that's it. That's it. Maybe I just should have said it like that and, you know, I wouldn't get people killing me for saying, oh, trade Brady? Come on. We're going to say trade Tom Brady? Come on. You know, like the PFW guys are going to accuse me of before we got started today. No, I'm not saying that. Listen, if Tom Brady is surrounded by the right players, he can play until he's 40 freaking 5 for all I care. And I think that would be fantastic as long as he can still get the job done. But you're going to have some guys that go get the ball. You're going to have some guys that are clearly on the same page as he is in the playbook. That isn't the case right now. And again, we saw a step back this week. It's going to be a growing process and a learning process for some of these guys. Last week was a step back. Now we need to see another step and another step after that forward. I'm willing to go 2 steps up, 1 step back. I'm willing to do that. If you really like your guys and you've made the proper evaluation of these guys, which has been part of our problem, I think, here in New England, I think most of you realize that. But if you've made the right set of evaluations on these guys, then you got to give them a chance to grow. And you're going to get 2 steps forward, 1 step back. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Then you're still +2, right? So all I'm saying is, great. Tom Brady may not be the guy to steady that ship if you need to take bigger steps and you want to eliminate the 1 step back. He may not be. That's all. That's all it is. Brian, I made this comment to a Patriot fan site moderator yesterday. Brady reminds me of an aging pitcher like Lackey, Hershiser, whatever, who's more reliant on the team's performance around him to succeed than in the past. He has to hit his proverbial spots to be effective, and those spots are getting more difficult for him to hit. Not to denigrate the Atlanta victory last week, but that 2013 signature win looks a little less impressive after what the Jets offense did to their defense on their final drive last night. No question about that, Brian. I don't know about trading Brady, but the team needs to get and stay healthy offensively. Yes, we can be a Super Bowl contender. Brady's still an X factor, but he's no longer at the pinnacle of his career. I think that's it. I think that's actually a pretty good assessment. You know, he's kind of like that aging, you know, ace, you know, in your rotation. There's no question. That's a pretty good cross analogy there with baseball. You're only as good as sometimes the offense that you have built up around you. If you're an aging pitcher that can still throw strikes, but you can't throw the heater, you know, 95 plus anymore, well, what are you going to do? You got to hit your spots. You got to change speeds. You have to be able to move the ball around. Are you seeing where I'm going with this thing? Move the ball around in baseball so you can throw strikes. Tom also has to be able to move the ball around on offense. So how does he do that? He's got to hit his spots, and he's got to move himself. That's all I'm saying, and he can't do that, or at least he's not doing it very well. Norrie, nitpick, I have 2 of them. Offensive play calling. After the blunt fumble, the offense went away from the run, calling more pass plays, making the offense become one-dimensional, making the offense more predictable. Blunt had a couple of nice runs before the fumble as the O-line was getting pushed on the Bengals' physical D-line. The offense needs to be more balanced. Number two, offensive line needs to do a better job protecting Brady and pass protection. 8 QB hits, 4 sacks, unacceptable for an offense that is predicated to timing, where the receiver needs to be in the right place at the right time. You are spot on, Nori. Spot on. Paul says, John, well, that sucked. The D looked okay for the most part. Holding any team to 13 points is a good effort, but the O was non-existent all day. Bad passes, bad drops, bad blocking combined to make it a miserable day. Has this shown that while we can win with a good O and a poor D, we cannot do so with a good D and a poor O? Well, I think it's starting to show that, Paul. I think it's starting to show that. All right, Michael says, and he's got several here, nitpicks. Although plenty of the blame can be placed on Tom and the Wookiees, I will put plenty of blame on the offensive line. Is it going to happen? Thank you. I was just waiting. I thought maybe you'd tune me out there, Kev.
No, I thought you were going to keep reading. I didn't want to step on you.
No, that's all right. Anytime, you know, Chewbacca needs to make an appearance, he can. One might like to point the finger at Solder. That is an easy out. The whole line was pushed in the preseason Detroit game. The line was pushed in the Jets game. Wendell had the mistake on fourth down last week, and this week they just performed poorly. They have a few first-round picks on that line, but if you can't win the challenge on the line, then the game is really tough to win. So who do you want at QB? Some names would help. You guys know the same names as I do. I said it in the opening hour. I'll say it now. I'm really intrigued by the kid Boyd at Clemson. He seems to just have that pocket presence. He just seems to have, I don't know, he's got that certain, I don't know, je ne sais quoi. He got something going on. I don't know. He seems to be mobile, agile, accurate, smart, intelligent, seems to have everything. I don't know. He just seems to be pretty doggone good. Mike says, back to the line, it was built for a pass-oriented offense with good experienced receivers. If the team goes to a more athletic QB, the team needs to address the line and get some players to win in the trenches. Russell Wilson has a better line. Peyton Manning has a better line. Drew Brees has a better line. Even Andrew Luck has a better line. I cannot disagree with that. In your analysis of the prototype, is there a problem in the scouting department, or is it that Bill as GM is an issue? I haven't decided that yet, Michael. I don't know. Need more info. Bill obviously has a chance to approve or reject just about anything the scouting department comes up with. So I guess you'd have to say that the buck has to stop with him. But I don't know, because it could very well be that it could very well be that the scouting department is coming up with the right guys, and he's saying, no, thank you, no, thank you. And again, that would be, or the scouting department is coming up with the wrong guys, and he's saying, yes, please, thank you very much. We don't know. How do you think the Wookiees and Tom would do if they had Hernandez and Gronk playing with them? Team picked the Wookiees when Hernandez was on the roster. Thank you. And they were not expecting the setbacks in the offseason. And he said Robin in Alaska made this point in the email, too. Yep. Yeah, that's true. I do believe that Hernandez not being around set back this team more than we all really realize. Because they had built this philosophically, predicated on the two tight end set, two tight end offense, two tight end this, two tight end that, and all of a sudden we don't have two tight ends, we have zero. With all due respect to Hooman and Mulligan and the others, we got zero. We don't have talent like that anymore. Things have changed. Mary Beth says, I was so disappointed with the game Sunday, so many chances blown. My biggest nitpick, the amount of so-called fans going crazy, wanted to trade Brady, saying the loss was all his fault. It's one loss, give it a chance, but Brady cannot do it alone. And that is the point for a lot of our conversation today, Mary Beth. All right, Matt says, John, my nitpick is Nate Solder. My goodness, he was bad this weekend. As was the entire line, but he looked lost. Not what we want to see from a guy who, at this point, should be developing into a franchise tackle. And it is not just this week. He's been far from his usual form most of this season. You know what? I think, Matt, you're kind of onto something here. Because I think what you realize is that in the past, I think, Matt, you probably have picked up on this a little bit. In the past, Patriots have had a guy like Gronkowski to help double team on that side of the ball or double team on the other side of the ball, but it makes Solder that much more effective as a tackle when Gronk is in there as a very effective blocking tight end. Without Gronk, more of the pressure falls on his shoulders. He may not quite yet be ready to assume that. And we're seeing some of his weaknesses exposed because he doesn't have the help that he has had in the past. So I actually think that's, I think you kind of caught on to something here, Matt. So pretty good observation there, in all honesty. Joe says, where are we here? What's your opinion on our offense not involving the tight end position? I know who man isn't Gronk, but can't Tom just try to include him? Or is Josh McDaniels not including him in the game plan? Schematically speaking, we have no middle of the field presence. That's really hurting Dropson and Dropkins. Why have I not seen that before? Have we had a lot of fans say that, Kev?
About
a jillion? About Aaron Dobson and Kimbrel Tompkins, they're calling them Dropson and Dropkins.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
I haven't heard that.
No.
I can see why.
I like it. Until they change.
They both drive me nuts because even when they make a play, it just looks so unnatural. Like that Dobson play, he finally makes a big play where he gets open downfield and he runs into somebody and the ball comes loose.
Mm-hmm.
Tompkins is consistently either double catching the ball or dropping it or falling over his own 2 feet. It just looks very, very unnatural.
You know, and I've said this several times, when I saw, Kimbrel Tompkins play at the University of Cincinnati, I always thought he had pretty accurate hands. And I always wondered why that the Bearcats didn't go to him more often, especially as a deep threat, because I thought he had the athleticism, to overmatch his competition there. And I always thought that they were a little bit underutilizing him.
I find that the best receivers that I've seen, at least here in the 4 years that I've spent on the field watching the games outside, the guys that do especially well catching the ball and then running with it and making plays, catch the ball with their hands. And Tompkins, for some reason, just insists on letting the ball get deep and hit his chest plate and then trap it against his chest. And you rarely see him go out with two hands in front of him and high point the football. And it's just... It's hard to explain. I sound like I'm nitpicking, but it is Nitpick Tuesday. But even when he catches the ball, it just looks ugly. It doesn't look right.
I think that's a hell of a point. And I think you might have answered my question about, why A, Cincinnati didn't go to him more, and B, why he was an undrafted rookie free agent. Perhaps that was also seen in the tape.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, we try not to give style points around here. And, as long as you get the job done and you catch the ball, that's the first and foremost.
Correct.
And with these young receivers, you just want them to make the simple play. But it's just, some of these balls I look at, even the Atlanta game, John, we're sitting there and, we're getting ready to do the post-game show. And Bertrand and I are sitting there together. And we have DVR here in the studio. And we're going back and we're looking at some of the plays he made. And he made that great catch downfield on the bomb and one-on-one in... He doesn't catch that ball if the defender is not there, because the ball actually went through his hands, hit the defender's shoulder pad, and popped back up into his hands.
Right.
And it's just, it's hard to explain, but it just seems like every play he makes, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like an NFL-type play. And that's just an eyeball test from people that actually, we sit here and all we do is watch football for God knows how long.
Right.
And so when you watch so much of it and you see, the talented guys in the league running around making these catches, and then you look at what the Patriots have here, it just doesn't look the same. And that's the best way I can describe it.
I think it's a pretty good point by you. I think it's a good point. Joe also says, where the hell is Boyce? He strikes me as the kind of guy who can step in and make plays. Maybe he can do more than that. Who knows? We haven't seen enough of him, in my opinion. He's shown his ability to get open. Why not try him in a few end arounds or even send him downfield? I would agree with that, Joe. I would totally agree with that. I would also ask, because you seem to be having problems whenever you can return a kick, why isn't Josh Boyce returning kicks? Because he's got the speed to do that. I think he did that some at TCU as well. So why is he not out there? And I can only tell you that, maybe he's not doing it in practice. I don't know. I really don't understand that. Why did you keep the guy if he's not going to participate? He played on one snap. One snap on offense this last week against the Bengals. One snap. Why aren't they using him? He can't be. Is he worse, really? And I would argue if he's worse than if he's worse than Dropson and Dropkins, why is he on the team? Because you got to have somebody on the team? I don't think that's an excuse. I just don't. I don't think that's an excuse. You keep him around because, well, what happens if one of the other guys gets hurt? Is that really an excuse to keep a guy on the roster? If it is, fine. Say so. Well, they won't. Nick says, my nitpick is the O-line along with Tom Brady. He was having an off day. Some drops by Wookiees, but a good note on the defense. Okay, thank you, Nick, via Twitter on that one. O-line, yes, and that has been a common theme today. Lots of nitpicks with the O-line for the job on Sunday against the Bengals, without a doubt. I'm going to wrap up here with a couple of extra emails. Sam says, Sam in Chicago, I usually blow my Patriots recap on PFW, but after Sunday's performance, I'm a little concerned regarding Bill the GM. Let's just go with you get what you pay for. Bronco wide receiver salaries. He brings this out. Demaryius Thomas, 1.9 mil. Andre Caldwell, 700,000. Wes Welker, 2 mil. Eric Decker, 490. Trendon Holiday, 540. Total, 5.6 million. Patriot wide receiver talent for 2013. Amendola, 1.9 mil. Josh Boyce, 400,000. Julian Edelman, 700,000. Dobson, 400,000. Tompkins, 400,000. Total, 3.8 million. I'm just saying. Okay. Sam, that's a pretty good breakdown. It's a pretty good rate breakdown. Wow, they're only paying Thomas and Caldwell that? I guess I didn't realize that. Welker is the highest paid receiver of all of them. Making $100,000 more than Danny Amendola. Again, base salary. Base salary. Interesting, interesting email. Flint in Atlanta. John. Play calling. Do we have any more offensive tackles to throw to when we're down by two scores? That play was cool when it was Mike Vrabel. Knock it off. Yeah, I can't disagree. But again, you got to understand that he was a tight end in college and he was converted to offensive tackle. So I can understand the thought process. It just didn't go well. Number two. The bomb right after the fumble recovery, I said to myself, okay, just don't try to throw a bomb like that Ravens playoff game 2 years ago. Sure enough. And number three, also we should have gone for it on fourth and goal at three instead of banking on a game-winning touchdown drive. I know it's dicey, but which was a higher percentage on Sunday up until that point? We were opting to play for a tie. You know, I don't disagree with that either. I understand the process. You're still two scores down. You can't blow the opportunity because you didn't know if you're going to get the ball twice more. So I get why the Patriots did what they did, but I was kind of at the point, too, where you're saying, look, you're on the road. You really should go for broke here. But maybe they also didn't have the confidence in the offensive line, to be honest with you, Flint. So he says, regarding replacing Brady, who would you be suggesting? Breeze? Okay, but which is more likely, finding a Breeze-quality QB or a receiver who can catch? Honestly, finding a Breeze-quality QB, based on what I've seen. That doesn't mean somebody ain't going to come along, but based on what I've seen to this point in time, find a quarterback. How many mobile QBs are injured or coming off of injury? Sure, I'd like Tom to be quicker than paint drying, but he's still the man. Just have the receivers catch the ball when they do have the opportunity. Guys, you know, here's part of the problem. And he says, if that happened, we might not be having this discussion. You're correct, Flint, in Atlanta, and thank you for the email. But the problem is that you're not watching it. You're not seeing what we're all seeing here. Tom is having trouble getting the ball to guys. He's off target. And whether that's because the guys are running wrong routes or he just doesn't have the pinpoint accuracy of the pass, I frankly think it's a little of both. TG and NJ gets the last word. Thank you, John, for bringing up Brady's lack of mobility. I always thought his lack of mobility was his one flaw. There have been plenty of times I wish he could run. Watching other quarterbacks extend plays by moving around a bit is an attribute we can or do not employ, and the offense is limited by this missing element. Would it be easier to replace Brady or find a way to get him more mobile? I think it would be easier to replace him. But I'm not advocating replacing. I'm advocating starting the discussion, which we have done today. Thank you, everyone who has participated in the program today. Tremendous participation, email, Twitter, Facebook, phones, especially in the opening hour. Great stuff. We've got to, however, get off to the fantasy football guys, so we're going to do that. Same Pats time, same Pats channel mañana. We will get to turning the quarter. Eric will be back in with us as well, and we'll start talking Saints, 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 because they are marching in to Foxborough as one of three unbeatens in the NFL now. And, yes, it is a chance for the Patriots to get right back up there at the top of the heap in the NFL. But they're going to have one of the more dynamic offenses and quarterbacks in the league to deal with. The question is this bruised Patriots defense, as good as it has been through 5 weeks, are they up to the challenge? And that will be a focus of our discussion much of the remainder of the week. Mañana in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.